Now we can get to the learning. So I wanted to share with you a great topic, the Megillas Esther. By the way, how many of you think Megillas Esther is like the greatest thing ever? Right? Because it's it's great. It's just wonderful. By the way, I don't know your name. What's your name? It's good to meet you. Thank you for coming. So everybody else here at TABC either went to TABC or the TABC affiliates. You're sort of a TABC. Honorary TABC. But welcome, really, everybody. Thank you for coming. So Megillas Esther is great, and the more you delve into it, you know, the more wonderful things that there are there. You know, I just finished writing the book, and I realized there's more. Oh my goodness, there's so much more. It's just really wonderful. So I wanted to share with you one area where it's always, you know, everyone looks at it finds it a little bit unusual, and we're going to try to give an explanation. Give you a little taste of how, when you really delve deep into the Sefer, you know, you gain a lot from it, and you gain things that you wouldn't gain otherwise just from hearing it. You know, we hear it at night, you hear it in the morning, and you hear it for your whole life. You know, and we know the story really well, but when you really delve deep, you see there's so much. All right, so at the end of the Megillah, we find that Vayishach Sorim Kol Yehudim. And they sent documents to the Jews, whoever they were, scattered throughout Ahasuerus's Malchut. Divrei Shalom Ve'emet. It was very, very interesting, describing the Megillah as Divrei Shalom Ve'emet. Can anybody translate that? What does that mean, Divrei Shalom Ve'emet? Words of what? Words of peace and truth. I don't know the world of the Megillah. I could describe the Megillah in a lot of ways, but peace, words of peace and truth. Now, what in the world is, what does that mean? Yeah, you have any thoughts? Yeah?
My first thought is this, as true today, which is that most people never read the content of an article or a book. They read the title, and that's all they need for most people.
Right.
So, whatever the content is, having described it that way, takes care of a lot of things.
Uh-huh, okay. Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. You're probably in advertising, no? No? Okay, that's what it sounds like. Okay.
Social.
Okay, so similar. Okay. All right. Any other thoughts? Divrei, but to be hear what I'm saying, it's a little strange, you know? All right. So what, you know, so we look at the context. What's the context over here? Context is, but at the end of the Megillah, what's the struggle? Anybody catch us? We don't, a lot of times we don't catch us. What's the struggle at the end of the Megillah? It's getting the Jews to do what? To accept. I mean, it's not surprising to be able to accept. Ooh. do we have handouts? Yeah. Okay, Shkaya. Okay. Right, people have to accept Purim, right? And by the way, do we accept it so easily? No, it took a lot of effort. Mordecai had to say, and Esther had it. That's itself worth delving into that topic itself. How, you know, the effort in getting everybody to accept it. There was pushback from the people, there was pushback from the and pushback from the Chacham. And by the way, is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's a good thing. Why is it a good thing? Why? Because what? We're a people of what? We're a people of Masorah. You know, you want to introduce new things. You know, we that doesn't go over well with us. You know, and if it goes over, it means what? It means it really better be authentic. Otherwise, it's otherwise. otherwise it's not going to work. By the way, if it wasn't for my Atara, the whole book is Atara, because at last year, after the Purim suit, Atara basically said, it's time to write a Sefer, in nice words, she said, it's time to write a Sefer on Megillas Esther, so, you know, just get it done. So, in time for this year's Purim, we got it done. So, all right, good. Thank you, Atara. All right. So Esther's like she's struggling to get everybody to. We're trying to figure out why the Megillah is called Divrei Shalom Ve'emes. So you look at the context a little bit. You know, Davarla made me know. Try to get from the context, get some sense. This is the way that all the Mefarshim really work with the classic Mefarshim really work with this. Ibn Ezra, the Malbim, the Grah, basically say like this: It's part of the struggle to get Bnei Yisrael to get Jewish people, to get the Yehudim, to get the people in the Chachamim to accept Purim as a holiday and to accept the Megillah as to be part to be Megillah says to be part of the Tanakh. Right? Again, that's a pasuk before our pasuk and the pasuk afterwards in source number 3. L'kayem zmei Purim el bismanayem k'shek yamei merakai dev sev neskel k'shmam nashem divrei tzmas v'zakuzam. Why then would it be called divrei shalom v'mes? Why would it be called divrei shalom v'mes? Anybody have any thoughts? Why would it call it divrei shalom v'mes? They are words of shalom and emes. Not so much to describe the sefer, but rather what? Rather words of peace. And truth to try to get Bnei Yisrael to get us to accept Purim as a holiday, to accept Megillat Esther as part of everybody has handouts, right? To accept Megillat Esther. Oh, there we go. And we need emergency handout, a hander out or a giver. Okay, there we go. All right. So, the
opposite of machlokas,
right? In other words, emet, it's like a balancing act that Esther and Mordecai had. It's emes, you know, they had to really get people to accept Purim, right? To accept it. And shalom, you know, you had to do it in a diplomatic way. You know, because you're gonna ram it down people's throats, so it's not going to go over well, you know. Which is, by the way, which is very, very interesting. That Mordecai and Esther, even though they had a lot of power, what did they not do? Now, just think about it now, just realize this. They had a lot of power. They could have basically said that, you know, either keep Purim or else, right? They could have done that. Why didn't they do that? Because they knew what? Yeah. How well is that going to? Yeah, you may get compliance, but are they going to get buy-in? They're going to get buy-in. What's going to happen in the long run? In the long run, it's not going to work. So therefore, they realize it's got to be divrei shalom v'emes. You have to balance out shalom and emes to get the Jewish people to accept. To accept the Megillah, to accept Purim, and where do these Mefarshim take this idea from? Because there's one other place in Tanakh where this phrase Shalom and Emes are these two words are used together, and it's in one other context of Tanakh there was a new enactment that was made, and that's in Zechariah, right? What's that? Oh. Thought it was saying. Source number 4. What's the new enactment that's source number 4 of the pasuk in Zechariah? What's that referring to? If you're down in a Sephardic shul, you know this pasuk. We say it on Asar B'Tavis. We say it on before Asar B'Tavis. Before Shavuos B'Tamos. Koma Hashem Tzom Ravit Tzom Chamis Tzom Shvi Tzom Asir. What's that referring to? What's the Tzom Ravit Tzom Chamis Tzom Shvi Tzom Asir? What's that referring to? Those are the. Right, some Ravi is Shavuos B'Tamos, some Chamish is Tisha B'Av, some Ashri is some Gedalia, some Asir is Asar B'Teves. Right, so that Tzomot, you know, these fast days are new introduction, and it also was no small matter to get it introduced. The only thing, what was the advantage that Zechariah had over over Esther and Mordecai is what they had. You know, he was a Navi. He's called Mar Hashem. You know, this is what we're doing. And love, peace, and shalom. Basically, anytime you can try to introduce something new to the Jewish people, you need to say the truth, but you have to do it shalom. You have to do it gently. You know, otherwise, it's not going to. Otherwise, you're not going to get buy-in, and it's not. And it's not going to last for all generations. I'm just saying that's a classic explanation. But I'd like to share with you a new idea and why the Megillah would be called Divrei Shalom Emes. And based,
it's your understanding that the Rishon Lamas, that the Sfarim that they sent was actually the Megillah?
Or
was something else?
Right. You're making a good point. I didn't even realize this.
Ezra says that the Megillah was actually written for Ahasuerus.
Right.
And that would explain why a lot of things are not in there.
Okay. All right. That's very, very good. In other words, so that's basically where I'm going with this. So which is good. No, you're right. No, you are 1,000% right. You made a good point. That's the question. Is Divrei Shalom V'Emes? I'm assuming that it's describing the Megillah, or these are words that are used as public relations to try to get the Jewish people to accept. You know what's going on there in Pasuk Lamed, right? It's two different ways to understand it. So I'm suggesting that this is describing the Megillah itself. Why would it describe the Megillah itself? Basically what we're saying. All right, and we're going to say something like this. Now, in order to understand this, we have to understand probably the most interesting figure in, arguably the most interesting figure in the Megillah. And who is that? You can say it's Achashverosh. Because what? Who do we, those of you who heard me speak know this, we talk about this all the time. But so, forgive me. Wait, what do we know about, we know Esther and Mordecai, they're the good guys, right? And we know that Haman is a bad guy, right? We know that, right? What about Achashverosh? No, not so clear, right? So a lot of times I like to ask Chai Tzipor. We have a daughter who's with Down syndrome. So I like to ask her: is Haman good? Haman's bad, right? Esther Mordecai good? Esther Mordecai good. So what about Achashverosh? She's not sure. It's the right answer. It's very good. I always like when she picks that up. So, okay. So what do we say about Achashverosh? Those of you who think Achashverosh, okay, Achashverosh is a good guy, Achashverosh is a bad guy. What are your feelings about Achashverosh? What's that? He's a politician. What is he? He's a smart guy. He's not such a smart guy. The Gemara is a machlokas about it. This is very, very important. This is source number five. You have to take this Gemara, but you have to develop it. Rabbi Shmuel, so Machlok is Rabbi Shmuel, so there's a big Amoraim. Chadam Ar Melech Bikeach, Haya Chadam Ar Melech Tipesh Haya. It's a big, big Machlok. Was he shrewd, or was he a fool? Big Machlok, right? Which one do you think? Who votes for shrewd? Who votes for fool?
Can it be both?
Oh, you go to YU?
I looked at American politics.
Are you good at American politics?
I think also.
Oh, okay. Yeah. By the way, I look at a lot of, I feel bad, but I look at a lot of the politicians and I'm always saying, is he a teenager or is he a PKR? That's always the question.
We don't have halachas for him, so you have to have
covered. For Achashverosh?
Yeah, we don't have halachas.
Which halacha do we learn from Achashverosh?
That's in Shemesh
B'yai. Oh, that's true.
Rav Soloveitchik. Interestingly, I just read this last week.
Yeah.
Soloveitchik, in the shiur that he gave on the inauguration of the Talmud Shtibel,
yeah,
in Brooklyn.
Right.
So one of the things that he says was, what's the purpose of a Shtibel that other places don't do as well,
right,
in a certain way? L'haros ha'amim v'sarim et yofya.
Right.
To show the beauty of Torah.
Right.
And there's something also we learned.
Right.
From Achashverosh.
Uh-huh, okay.
That it's our obligation upon us as well to find proper way.
Oh, yeah, well, right. right. Well, that's taking, right. That's right. Okay. A little bit low standards there, but okay, okay. I got you.
It comes out better.
I got you. Drush. Okay. So we got, so what is he? Is he a moron, or is he shrewd? That's a big question over here. So the Gemara Gemara presents two different opinions about one issue about Achashverosh, and we can apply it to like really most of the major things that we're going to see about Achashverosh. So the Gemara applies this about Achashverosh's decision about the parties. How do you do the parties? First, it was a 180-day party for what? For the nobles from all over the empire, and then the 7-day party for the locals, for the people in Shushan. So, okay, which did he do first? He did it for the nobles, right? He did the nobles first, and then he did Shushan. Smart move or foolish move? Which do you say? Gemara says go both ways. Why did it go both ways? What's the argument that there was a shrewd move? Because what? Because the people who are close to him, he doesn't have anything to worry about. He's close to them. He can always reach out to them. But the people who are far away, they're distant, that's more of a risk, right? But on the other hand, you can say that's being foolish. Why? What's a smarter way? The smarter way is what? What's a politician always have to do? A politician always has
keep
to...
your enemies close.
What's that? Keep your enemies, right. Keep your friends close and your enemies even closer, right? But what are a politician's first base is what? What's that? You're your own people. You got to solidify your own base. If you don't have your own base, right? What's her name? Doesn't win in South Carolina, Nikki Haley. If she doesn't win in South Carolina, she's done, right? You know what I'm saying? So, right? I hope I didn't offend anybody by saying that. Right, whatever. Okay. So all right, so that's one machloket. Let's go through everything about Achashverosh, and you'll see this. I mean, the Gemara doesn't do it because they figure you're smart enough on your own to do it. They just give you one example, and you've got to run away with the rest. Let's go with 9. Eliminating Vashti. Okay, good move or bad move? Good move or bad move? Why is it a bad move?
She was the source of
power. Why?
That's correct.
Right, because she's a granddaughter of a Nebuchadnezzar. Right? Does he have royal blood, Achashverosh? No. So what is he doing? He's destroying his royal legitimacy. Right? So that's foolish. What's shrewd? What's shrewd?
It wasn't good to give it to Michal.
What's that? Oh, Michal. Ooh. Oh boy! Okay, sign them up. Okay, it's good. You guys are good. What? Give me a svara. It's similar to the Mikal. It's very good.
Well, because if you can buck,
he's taking all the power for himself.
That's a good one. He's just grabbing the power for himself. That's right. It was a good excuse. She disobeyed the king. He has an excuse to solidify the power. Oh, that's very good. That's better than I was going to say. I was going to say something else.
But it looks so foolish. Every husband's going to listen to his wife. It's ridiculous.
Well, that's the Gemara points that out. Right. But on the other hand, you know, okay, it's an excuse to accumulate power. I thought it was just he found Vashti annoying. It was a good excuse to get rid of her without with some form of face saving. Okay. However you slice it, Yonatan is a better explanation. Number 2. Okay, selecting Esther as a queen. On one hand, foolish or not foolish? I mean, as far as he knew, obviously, but in the end, we know it was good or not good for the Achashverosh. Was Esther good for Achashverosh?
Yeah.
It was great for Achashverosh, right? Because why?
Because everyone accepted her as their own.
People liked her, they didn't like him. But they like, you know, they what's the best proof that he wasn't so liked? What's that? Try to kill.
She's a no name.
What's that?
She's like Yosef, she's a no-name.
Oh.
Power base.
Oh, it's like, what's that quarterback for the 49ers, right? Everybody's rooting for him because he was last in the draft, right? What? Purdy, what's his name? John Purdy,
Brock,
something?
Brock,
huh?
Brock
Purdy. They're much better than John. Brock. Yeah, I got it.
That's why Yosef was so happy. He's never as hotter than Father Gums. He had both ways then.
Ah,
he happened as a no-name who has the basis of,
but
you can show he wasn't the slave.
Very good. So no name, right. Okay, got you. Okay. That's interesting. So but also what did she do? She wound up saved what good did she do for Achashverosh? She saved him indirectly from Vixen and Sarah. She got rid of Haman. And Haman really was not good for Haman was not, by the way. Another advertisement. Razi did the what's that called?
Copy editing
for the book, and best copy editor ever. Okay, so I plugged both my daughter-in-law and my son-in-law. So I'm really doing well here tonight. Okay, good. Baruch Hashem. Okay, good. So got rid of Haman. And people liked her. It was good. What's the best proof that Esther and Mordechai were good for Achashverosh? Because at the end of the Megillah, what was Achashverosh able to do? He was able to impose taxes, right? You can't do that. You can't get away with that unless you did something good. Okay. So in the end, it was good. But just to select, give me an argument why selecting Esther as queen itself was foolish. Because what? He didn't even know what.
Unknown
function. What kind of security? Why your security wouldn't let her through? In my day, by the way. You're talking about why your security in my day. Can I tell you about something why your security in my day? I love telling the story. In my day, we used to take the IDs, we put pictures of Saddam Hussein and Yasser Arafat on it. Like, come on in. You know, like. All right. Anyway. True stories. I'm not making it up. All right. Sorry. Okay. Number. So on one hand, what kind of a security? That's why your security from 1983, right? So they let He'll let anybody. I can let Esther as queen, so he gets foolish. On the other hand, it's smart.
That's
smart. What's that?
More than that, it's foolish because she has absolutely no experience.
She has no experience.
She has no political,
She has right.
Influence the women.
Right.
Right.
Right. There's no utility for this. Has no royal value for him. But maybe that's what he wanted. You know what I'm saying?
But
on the other hand,
yeah. Empire.
Maybe he preferred that because he wants, like Yonatan's saying, he wants all the power.
How would they not know that she was related to Mordecai and Mordecai?
Oh, that's a chapter in the book. That's a chapter in the book. I'll email it to you if you don't want to buy the book. Okay, now. I'm not trying to pressure anybody to buy it. Okay, all right, now. So, okay, but on the other hand, it's shrewd. Why, guys, you can say it's shrewd. I can say it's shrewd. Why is it shrewd? Because you can say what? He basically what? He sensed that you know, there's something, there's something really special about this, about this woman, Esther Noseschen. He already realized there's something out of the ordinary about this person. And he was right. So it was his intuition about Esther was right. So yeah, again, it can go both ways. What about the extermination plan? Okay, let's go to step number, let's go to source number 7 so we can actually see it. Okay? All right, so that's always the big question over here. Right? Who's manipulating who? Right? Here, let's read the pasuk. Who's manipulating who? V'yom ha'aman l'melech ha'chashrush. Yeshno ha'machan v'fuzar v'fari b'en ha'amim. V'chom yas v'chazer 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 right? Now. On one hand, you could say that he's a fool. Why? Because Achashverosh agrees to it, right? Even though what? Even though he doesn't even know what? What's not named in the pasuk? He doesn't even know what nation. It's crazy. On the one hand.
Maybe he did.
Oh, on the other hand, maybe he did know. Or maybe on the did know, right? It's like wink, wink, you know, yeah, this is one nation we all hate, right? Who do we all hate? We all hate the Jews, all right? Right, so nothing has changed, okay? Anyway, so that's why we read like a letter, you know, because it's, you know, it's a, the Gemara,
it's
fresh.
Spread
what's that?
All over, but really.
We hate them. Okay, yeah, they hate us. Okay, so not everyone, but okay, but a lot. So, okay. So, on the other hand, wink, wink, we know who the Amichad is, but why can you say he's shrewd? He's actually manipulating Haman, right? Why is it helpful for him not to know it? Because this way, what? This way, what's the whole argument that we all know, on one hand, you know, the little kid, you think Haman is manipulating Achashverosh, but really, when you get old, no, maybe he's Pekach, maybe he's shrewd, right? Because maybe it's Achashverosh who's manipulating Haman. Why is Achashverosh possibly manipulating Haman? Because why? Right, because if it goes south, then what's going to happen? Then who'll take the blame? Haman takes the blame, right? And Achashverosh comes out smelling like a rose, right? So his not knowing the nation is even good, because now he has what? What do we call that?
Deniability.
There you go. Plausible deniability. Right, plausible deniability. Very good. That's right. Here's another favorite one. All right? He offers Esther Chatzi HaMalchut, half of the kingdom. Okay. There we go. Ad Chatzi HaMalchut, right?
Only
49, okay. So, Ad Bechlad, the Lord Bechlad. So, okay, so whoa. So on one hand, you could say, what kind of reckless rhetoric is this? Nonsense. I'll give you half the kingdom? It's nonsense. How could he do that? It's foolish. On the other hand, it's smart. The Drash, what does the Drash say? What's Chatzi HaMalchut according to the Midrash? It's what? It's Beis HaMikdash. Don't even what? Don't even think of asking me for the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe it's, you know, according to that, Achashverosh maybe seems to have a little suspicion that maybe, she actually is Jewish, okay? Or maybe some Jew sent her to try to ask her for that. You know, she never asked for anything big. Maybe this was something big. Go grab a handout. Trying to figure out what Achashverosh is all about. Good.
Oh,
here we go. Welcome. We're trying to figure out why Megillat Esther is called Divrei Shalom Be'emet. All right.
And why wouldn't people find out if she's Jewish? How hard could that be?
Well, he tried. By the way, that really goes to our credit. It goes to our credit that we didn't spill the beans. And Achashverosh very much wanted to find it out. But Esther wouldn't. Esther was tight. She put a lot of pressure on her.
But no one else.
What's that?
Wouldn't he ask other people?
Right, but that's the great thing. The great thing is that all the Jews knew, and they would have got, and they, we would have gotten a tremendous reward, but we kept our mouths shut, which is a tremendous thing. Tremendous! It's unbelievable that we did that, but that brought the Gula, that brought us redemption. So sometimes, you know, the Mishnah says, you know, Pirkei Avos. Bryce says Pirkei Avos. You know, quoting Dovah B'Shem Omrov. You say something, you bring Gula, but here, not saying something by remaining silent, actually it brings Gula. So yeah, it's sometimes in life, remaining silent. What's that?
The opposite with Moshe B'Tzitzis Yisrael. Where because Rashi says that because one Jew told another and then it got out to Paro what Moshe did with the mitzvah,
right?
That's why they deserve
for the galus, yeah. Right? But the geula, so we also no one, right? Correct. And in Mitzrayim too, we also didn't leak that that they were only going for 3 days. We also did correct. It's the opposite. Galus is when we is when we blab, and geula a lot of times is when we know how to be smart enough when to talk, when not to talk. It's not so posh. Okay, so half the kingdom. Okay, good. Next, here's another favorite one. Here, when Achashverosh asks after the first party, and he, after that night that he can't sleep after the first party, Haman comes in the middle of the night asking for permission to kill Mordechai. Achashverosh asks Haman, "Malasod ba'ish afra melech hafetz bikara? What should I do with the guy that I want to honor?" Right? On one hand, what does it sound like? I mean, as a kid, think of yourself at your 10-year-old self. What did your 10-year-old self, how did it understand? "Malasod ba'ish, what should I do?" You know, he's just asking Haman innocently. "Oh, what should I do for the guy I want to honor?" Right? On the other hand, right? That's on one hand, but on the other hand. Right? Maybe what is he doing? What's a shrewd way of reading it? More the, you know, the adult way of reading it. I don't know. Then maybe he's not doing that. Maybe this Malasot Be'esh, he's trying to what? He's testing Haman to see what he's going to say. Oh, and does Haman pass the test? No, that's a billion-dollar question over here. Who's manipulating who? Right? Okay. Next. Mihu Zev Ezehu. When Esther comes out here, I have this in source number 8. When Esther says to Achashverosh at the second party, the dramatic moment, the big moment, Perek Zion, the most dramatic parak in the whole sefer, right? Says, "Hey, Achashverosh, here's my ask. Please help me, because we've been sold. What's going on? To be destroyed." So Achashverosh said, "Oh, mi uzev ezehu? Oh, who did me uzev ezehu?" So either it's what? Come on, just say it out. Either it's what? Either he's playing dumb or what? Or he's just playing dumb, right? So that's one of the two, right? Let's continue. Number 7. Okay. This is stepping out. Yeah. Number 9. After that big moment when Esther says, "Haman Araz," that is lousy Haman, right? So Achashverosh is like, what does he do? He goes outside. Reminds me when I grew up in the house, I grew up in Brooklyn, we had a porch, you know, you go outside, I was going to figure Achashverosh went out of his porch, he had a porch, you know, he went out to his porch, he goes to his garden, really, right? Foolish or not foolish? Foolish or not foolish that he goes outside? On one hand, this is actually smart. This actually seems to be smart. What does Achashverosh do here for the first time? He actually does something that you don't find him doing before. And that what? He actually stops before he thinks. Right? Doesn't act on impulse. Whoa! This is a big moment over here for Achashverosh. Yeah? He's improving a little.
But he gets to see her bedroom from there.
Oh, that I didn't see. Okay, that I didn't catch. But how can you say that's foolish? Because what's he doing? He's leaving what? He's leaving Haman and Esther alone. That's not really good. Oh, that I didn't get you. Okay, where does it say that? The Gemara has that?
Well, he's there, and then he can see what's happening.
He can? It seems that way. Okay, that's interesting. By the way, I'm going to have to come out with a second edition of the book after this conversation here. We'll have to redo the whole thing. What's that?
Why did the king say it?
What's that?
Yeah. He didn't see it.
It's after he comes back.
Okay.
What do we think of this chiddush? That's a good. That's a chiddush.
It's nothing if he sees her with her.
Possible.
He saw her on his.
Yes.
On her
yes. No. Maybe so. Yes. No. Maybe so. What do we think? I will give that a maybe so. We'll give that a maybe so. Okay. Now, let's go to number eight. This one's an interesting one. Most of us don't even realize this. You know, most of us, honest. Be honest. After the seventh parak, after Haman's hung, right? We know what everybody's thinking already. This Megillah should be over with already. That's it. That's time to eat. We'll break the fast. Let's go. We have any, get the food. Let's go. Another three prakim. Let's go. Why do we need all this? You know, all these Haman's. Come on. Let's get it done. But there's more action. Parak that tests all the action about shouldn't be getting the Jews to accept Purim. And what's the action, Parakes? The action's not over. Haman's dead. It's not over. Because what? Because the decree is still on. We think that we're out of the woods. Once Sinwar or Haman, he came to Yelanu, right? Once he's gone, that's it. No. You kill the king. The king is, the chess game's over. No, that's not the case. There are plenty of his followers that are still alive and kicking. And most important, and what's still in effect? The decree is still in effect. So here's the question. Delay in game penalty here, because whoa, what's going on? Why didn't what? Achashverosh, she got rid of Haman. She could have run what? Get rid of Haman's decree. Why didn't he get rid of Haman's decree? Why didn't he get rid of Haman's decree?
Not possible.
Oh, because it's against Persian law, right? Because once you make a decree, you can't. So why did he come up with this whole idea? I can't cancel it, but I can nullify it by making a counter decree that will basically dilute it, right? So that's what he does. He couldn't have done this on his own. Maybe he couldn't have done his own because maybe he's foolish, right? On the other hand, maybe he's shrewd. So I was thinking, why didn't he eliminate it? Maybe why? So again, the same thing. Why didn't Achashverosh get rid of Haman's decree along with Haman? So we throw in the garbage along with Haman. After all, Haman, he realizes is a threat to him. Got to get rid of Haman. His decree can't be any good for him either. He wants to kill the people whose leader saved his life. So what? His allies. He wanted to destroy his own allies. So why doesn't he get rid of it? So either he's a fool, just want to suggest, and then I'm going to hear your thought. Either he's a fool, or what? Or Haman basically what? Either Achashverosh is a fool, or Achashverosh doesn't like us. And he has an excuse. Oh, he wants to keep that extermination plan in effect. Why? Because he doesn't really like us, and he has an excuse. Oh, Haman made the law, and I can't undo it. So he has, again, plausible deniability.
So that, in between. Who says it?
What's in between?
Maybe it's not an extermination plan.
Go ahead.
Because we know who Esther is. But you get to weaken the Jews.
Okay.
Just like our friends, Kissinger, everybody loves to weaken us. Make sure that we win, but not enough.
You'll have to bleed.
No total
have to
wins.
Bleed a little
no
bit.
No total wins.
Right.
Always a partial defeat.
Should co-author the next book together.
Well, he doesn't want to undermine. It's all about the power again. He doesn't want to undermine if he annuls this decree. Then who's to say all his other?
All decrees are all done. Yeah, right. So it could be shrewd. It could be they did right. So you can take this in a couple. You can
not hate the Jews, but not love them.
Right. So in the middle. Right. Exactly. I like that. Very good. Very good. That's what Kissinger said in 73. Let them bleed. Let them bleed. Ten. Sorry for saying that, but it's and he's from here. He's from Washington Heights. Okay. Number 10. See, here's the big question about Achashverosh. This Gemara is very, very important. And Ashkenazim say this in the Slichos for Tanis Esther. It says like this. Much we allude to it. The Gemara presents one approach to Achashverosh. I believe it seems this is only according to the opinion that Achashverosh is shrewd. So, Mashal Achashverosh Haman L'Madavar Dome, L'Shnei B'nei Adam, two people. One had a huge mound of dirt, and one had a big, you've heard me say this 50,000 times, right? If you're right, they had a big mound of dirt, or there was a big crater, right? Or a big hole. But one guy had a big mound, there was mound owner, and ditch owner. Right? So the ditch owner one time saw a mound of dirt and he said, whoa, I love to have that dirt, right? You guys, I'm going to say the mashal and you tell me what the nimshal is. Right? Balatel Amar, the Gemara doesn't say because it's obvious. Right? Balatel Amar, wow. So the ditch owner was so happy to see the dirt. Please, I'll pay any money for it. And the dirt owner, who wants to get rid of his mound of dirt, he says, oh, please, just give me this dirt. Give it to me for free, right? Well, young is, you know, I'll take that ditch. I want to buy the ditch. I want to buy the dirt, right? But the others are the same. Liam is David Zedzel. Zed, they met each other finally. Balachris Balatel. The ditch owner said to the mound owner, he said, please sell it to me. He said, no, take it for free, alibi, and take it. Okay, good. Now, what's the nimshal? What are we trying to compare it to? Who's the dirt? I hate to say it. Who's the dirt in this mashal? That's awesome. Okay. Who's the guy that owns the mound? Who owns a mound of dirt? That's Achashverosh. Because what's that? He has this mound of dirt. He just can't get rid of it. That's Achashverosh. He wants to get rid of the Jews, right? This is a very dark reading of Achashverosh. He's shrewd, right? He wants to get rid of it. But he's afraid to get rid of us because it may backfire in a way and it may blow up in his face, right? And who's the guy that owns the ditch? That's Haman, right? Because what is he's missing something? What's he missing? He's missing power. So he's looking for power. So, oh yeah, you want the power? I go, sure, take the power. And then Haman wants to pay for it. Achashverosh says, no, don't pay for it. Now the fact that Achashverosh says, don't give me the money, right? That seems to be a great riot to this. On the other hand, maybe what's the other way to read it? Yeah. The other way to read it is that he's just doing a friend. He's just doing a favor for his friend Achashverosh, who he perceives incorrectly as being his friend. Okay. At the end of the day, what am I trying to show you over here? There are two ways to read the Megillah. Right? There's two ways to read Achashverosh. Either he's shrewd, he's shrewd. He goes through every single thing that he does, all nine things of his basic actions about the sins of Achashverosh. Maybe there are more. You can interpret it in two ways. Okay. Bottom line. Not clear. What does this have to do? And I just said, and we'll come to the conclusion. What does this have to do with Divrei Shalom Ve'Emes? Why is the Megillah referred to as Divrei Shalom Ve'Emes?
Who would allow such a thing to be promulgated throughout his empire?
Okay. So like this. So which way of understanding Achashverosh is the more flattering one? That he's a fool or that he's shrewd? See, the problem is with saying if he's shrewd, you're saying that he's a Rasha, right? All right, on the other hand, if you say that he's a fool. Neither one is particularly flattering. So the brilliance of the Megillah is what? The brilliance of the Megillah is writing it in an obscure way. Because you ever wonder, why does the Megillah write it this way? Why does it not make it clear? So we're trying to say it deliberately doesn't want to make it clear. Why? Because what? Because otherwise what? Otherwise, it's going to get who upset? It's going to get Achashverosh upset. Is that a good idea to get Achashverosh upset? I don't think so, right? In fact, that's one of the reasons why Chazal, as the Gemara says, the Chazal didn't want to put Esther in the Tanakh. They didn't want it to Purim because, you're going to get upset. You don't want to get him upset. So what did they do? So they wrote it in a way that it's MS. How's it MS? Right? It's MS, right? Because, if you use your brain, you realize what's going on here, what we're saying about Achashverosh. But it's Shalom. Why? Because what? Achashverosh, right? He's so vain, right, that he doesn't even realize that, what's going on over here. Achashverosh is so biased for himself. He reads it the way that most of us read it as we're kids. When we were kids, most of us, you don't buy my explanation of it. But let me say it, then you'll attack it. One second, let me finish it, and then you'll attack. How did you understand Achashverosh when you were kids? Right? Think to your 7-year-old self. What did you think of Achashverosh? You really thought he was stupid? Really?
Who Who
you thought
gives,
he was
who gives really? His ring to people, anybody decide right whatever they want?
Well, Paro, you know,
who,
I think everybody else
woman, who kills the woman he loves?
I'm okay. Well, what's that? Well, yeah, it was that he loves her, right? That marriage was not for nothing to do with love, but it's all with politics.
His
but
courtiers
what's that?
Pretty upset.
Yeah. Okay.
They had to
I get my. I don't know. When I was, I don't know. I thought when I was a kid, I thought Akashverosh was a jolly fellow. I don't know. No, I thought he was a fun guy. You know what I'm saying? So I, at least okay. So that
jolly but stupid.
Jolly but stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know. I sort of liked him when I was little, you know. Maybe something wrong with me. I don't know. Whatever. But I, you know. But I don't know. So Akashverosh is so biased. It's so blurred. It's not so clear what we're pretending about him anyway. So I thought the way he would read it, that he wouldn't get offended by it, right? That's you don't buy my explanation. That's my explanation. All right. So that's why I wonder. That's what my suggestion was. The ratio of MS. What do you say? Yeah.
Definitely. I think it has some legs.
It's possible. Yeah.
However,
yeah.
There's one part that really bothers me about the whole concept, and the only answer is that we wrote it in a way that Akashverosh should not get offended.
Right.
Even to lie. And we
right.
do lie, straight out.
Where do we lie?
We say that Naira Psula.
Right.
When Mar says she was a married woman.
Oh. That's true.
So in order to protect him, we actually go as far as the lie.
Akashverosh was looking for a Basula either way. You think he didn't check? He has people checking out all of the women every like throughout. You're gonna say she doesn't have her Basula?
No, the Gemara says that it were married and not married. So, but the pasuk does.
But I'm saying that Akashverosh is looking for a basula.
Lav dafka. The Gemara said that sometimes you. I'll go with the Gemara with you. Sometimes.
Okay.
Because sometimes you want
it. Like called Narabitula.
Right, but the Gemara says sometimes he wanted a pasul. He wanted a pasul. So
I'm
wanted
saying for this competition.
What's that?
Like Betzul called Narabitula.
No, Lav Dafka. The Gemara said that it wasn't. Right, it's a good point. So it was important. That's right. We lie. Oh, that's a good shot. That's a very good shot. Yeah.
It reminds me.
He's a nasty guy, Akashverosh. You know, more. You know.
Do you have an idea who he was?
Yeah, Lachari was Xerxes. You know.
Xerxes or
Kempises? Yeah. Oh, you used to like that name when you were little. You liked Kempises. Okay. Anyway, but the. Sorry. couldn't resist.
What's
that?
Known as the fool.
Oh, that's interesting. But Achashverosh, look at the end of the Megillah when it says, you know, there's a Kriya Ksiv at the end of the Megillah. It says Achashirash. You ask any Persian, do we have any Persians here? We have a Moroccan. Do we have any Persians? Okay, we don't know. Ask your local friendly Persian. They'll and they'll tell you how do you say Xerxes in Persian? Chashirash. Xerxes is just a mess up of Chashirash. It was Chashirash, and it says Chashirash at the end of Megillah in the Ksiv. So it seems it's Xerxes. So how you fit, have to fit into Herodotus' version of Xerxes? Well, that's his bias because the Greeks hated the Persians. So.
But Herodotus also had independent sources that
match him
exactly.
Oh yeah.
The
inscription. Yeah, that's right. Which is extant. It's there. Yeah, we have. Yeah, yeah. We don't have it. The Ayatollahs have. But it matches perfectly. Yeah. Okay. Bottom line is, whether you like this shiur or not, one thing is for sure: we all like Megillas Esther, and I hope you realize this one thing that whatever. I hope at least we raised some good questions, and there's a lot. So the most important thing is whether you bought a book or not is to really look deeply into Megillas Esther, because it's a lot more than when we learned it when we were 7 years old, you know. And there's a lot more there, and there's a lot of depth. And you really, the truth is, I just spent I spent like 4 or 5 months really, you know, deep into Megillas Esther, and tonight in the last half an hour I just learned a ton more. So this is really, you know, just for me. And I hope you learned as much too. But, you know, there's really so much. And say Lamont. Go Lamont. Thank you for coming.
All Rabbi Jack's Sfarim by youngsters are up 10%.